So today we're going to talk on this. I'm not a verse-by-verse person. I'm a topic person. So today we're going to talk on the topic of who do you want to be like? Who do you want to be like? Or we could say it like this for the modern. Who you want to be? Who you want to be like? So today we want to leave encouraged to commit ourselves afresh or anew to our Creator and be encouraged to be transformed to be like Him. God made us in His image, in His likeness. We can see this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." There's two words there because they mean two different things. Today we'll be talking about His likeness. Likeness is being like the character of it, the nature of the thing. In other words, He created us to be in His nature when He said in His likeness. And Adam and Eve were in His nature. They had His character, His characteristics in the inward person. People who have the same inner character, the same nature, and they conduct themselves accordingly. They conduct themselves like Him. Now let's talk just real quick. Who is He? What's His character like? This is a whole, like you could spend weeks on this, because how do you describe God and His character? But let's look at it like this in just a couple of words. God is love, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4. Love. And that word love is not like the word love that we're using today. And when you say love today, most people think of it as another four-letter word. But God is not that kind of love. And when you think of love today, some people think, well, yeah, I love my family. I love my kids. I love my chocolate. I love my coffee. And the word love is just completely almost lost its meaning compared to what God truly is. Because He is the originator of love. Love would not exist without Him. And He is the only reason we have any semblance of love on the planet today. Without Him, it would not exist. And the love we're talking about is the purest sort of love that lays down its life. You can find a description of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 if you want to go there. Can't have time to do that there, but go look it up later. You can see it. And some of you already know, but that's great. But also God is truth. His perception of things is truth. Not my perception, not yours, not the government's, nobody's perception on the face of this planet. Maybe we have a little piece of it here and there, maybe some greater, some smaller, maybe some not at all, but it doesn't matter because God is truth. Without Him, truth would not exist. He is truth. And He has been trying to communicate truth to us from the garden until now. And one of the ways He's done that, the Bible tells us, is through the stars, through the planets, through nature. There are truth there that He's communicating about Himself and His character. And He has presented truth as He moved by His Spirit upon holy men of God who wrote the Scriptures that we have in our hand today that we call the Bible. Truth is there, and it's a miraculous book that has outlived so many of the skeptics and the naysayers about the book, people who tried to burn it and stamp it out and get it completely off the planet, and yet here it is right in our hands, in a phone, so you can pick it up and read as many like 57 different versions, English versions, and get truth from it. He did this because of His passion of love and His passion for us to know Him who is the truth. He is also good. There is no other source of good but Him. And sometimes we doubt that because we don't think that what's going on in our lives right now is really good. But what does He say? He doesn't say things will always go good for you. You're always going to just be wonderful. And you're always going to be well. You're always going to be financially blessed. You're going to have $1 million and drive a Porsche. He's not saying that at all. He says, in this world you will have trouble and tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He says that whatever the enemy had intended for harm, He turns it around for our good. He says that those for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes, He turns all things together for good in our lives. He turns it for good, regardless of what's going on. No, folks, God is good. There is no other source of good but Him. And I can't just go on and on and on about God, but I'd love to. I've seen Him do so many awesome things in my life when I just ask. If I'll humble myself, try to do things His way, He starts working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that is so awesome. And the last thing I want to talk about God and His character is He is generous. He gives. Now, how do we know that? Because you see it recorded in the Bible throughout, but the main verse is in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Does anybody know John 3:16 in here? For God so loved, you can say it with me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That everlasting life is Him inside. He is love, He is truth, He is good, He's generous, and so much more that we can't even have time to express. But I'm telling you about these things because I feel like it's the very things that we need. We need Him. We need His character. We need His character not just on the outside of us. For other people to act that way, especially those that love us in our own homes, we need them to be love. We need them to tell the truth. We need them to be good. We need them to be generous. We need that. That's not always what we're getting. So we're going to talk today about who do you want to be like? His purpose, God's purpose from eternity has to been to populate the planet with people who will be like Him. And if this planet had people, more people, all the people being like Him, we wouldn't see wars. We wouldn't see bad things happening like stealing and rape and murder and all kinds of garbage going on that's going on in the world today. People that are doing these things are not like Him. Even if they say they're Christians, even if they say they're religious, even if you see them in church, if you see them doing those things, if you see yourself doing those things, you're not being like Him. But His will, His purpose, is to have people that are just like Him. And you think, dude, that's impossible. Who can be like God? We're about to explain it. Glad you asked the question. Because it's not impossible. Not only is it not impossible, it's probable. And not only is it probable, it is God's plan for us to become more and more like Him. Now the problem is what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Because Adam, after he gave a rib for this woman, ended up, he and her, making a decision to go against God, which is what the enemy of God was wanting them to do. And he challenged them and basically accused God of not telling the truth and hiding something from them. And when they saw that what he was saying might be right, they decided to take a bite of the fruit. And when they did, something happened. Now what God said is when that happens, in the day that you do that, you will surely die. Now they didn't die or we wouldn't be here, physically speaking. They didn't die physically, but they were disconnected from God. So if you will, think with me about a connection between our hearts, our inner man, our inner person, and God, this connection. And we're talking with God, and we've got like a wire transfer of information and beauty and love and hope and all kinds of things with God in the garden. And then all of a sudden, they bite the fruit. There's a disconnect. And that disconnect is what the Bible is calling, what God is calling, death. They died to God. They disconnected from Him. And you know that because they ran and hid when He came to the garden. He had to say, hey, where are you? It's not that He didn't know where they were. He wanted them to think through what had happened. And He's still wanting us to think through what happened. And let's make it right. That's the problem. That's what the Bible calls sin. It's the opposite nature of God. And that's what we're born with. We're born that way, just quite naturally. We do the things that are not a nature from God. Now, do we do some good things from time to time? Sure, especially if we've learned that in church or from good parents. We know how to do good things, but that doesn't make us what God's looking for. God's not looking for good. He says that there is no good people on the face of the planet. Not one. None are righteous. And righteous means connected to God. And none of us are. Something had to happen. From birth, we're missing the character and the nature of God because we've lost an interconnection between us and Him. Each individual, does this mean you? This means you if you're a human. And we can tell by our actions whether or not we are doing and have the character of God, because we're doing and wanting to do and striving to do what He wants. But we're more like Adam and Eve and not like God. Even though we try to blame everybody else, it's us. It's on me. It's on me the way that I act. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my dad or mom's fault. It's not my kid's fault. It's not that teacher that treated me that way. It's not that guy at work that treats me like that or my boss at work. It's not the television. It is me. It's on me how I act. It's on me what's coming out of me. Nobody else. So we can't blame it on everybody else or anybody else. And if you're doing that, you're passing the buck and you're basically setting yourself up for failure, because He needs you to see, He needs me to see that I am the problem so that I can turn to Him and get it fixed. I cannot fix my wife, my husband. I can't. My husband, hold it. Pause there. Hold it. Strike that. All right, so my wife, my dad, my mom, if I'm blaming it on them, there's no way I can get them fixed. So I'm always under the cover of, oh, well, it's their fault. If I wasn't born in America, if I wasn't born in here, wasn't born poor, if I wasn't born rich, if I wasn't born whatever, it's on me. It's on you. The solution is not for you to become better. Self-help books are okay, but they don't make the connection back to God. They don't bring His nature into your being. They may make you a better person. That's good. But they don't make the connection. Jesus came as a human. He was God. And as a human, He came in the likeness of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: He is the sole expression of the glory of God, and He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. He always did what He saw His Father doing, according to John chapter 5, 19. And He always said what He heard His Father saying, according to John chapter 12, 49 and 50. He was connected as a human. and it was never disconnected. And yet, as a pure human, he took your place, my place, on a cross that we couldn't do because we were disconnected. But him being connected, he could pay the price for our lack of godly nature, so that as a human, he could open the doors of heaven and allow the Spirit of God to come down inside of me, inside of you, the same way he has it. The same way he had the Spirit inside of him, we have the Spirit inside of us if we will humble ourselves and repent. Turn to him with our whole heart. If we'll face up to our own issues and say, I can't do this. Please help me. Show me. He will show you. It happens over and over and over again. How can I tell you the number of times? I've got testimony of testimony in no time because it's 4:35 in the afternoon. Yeah, he was connected. He'd never lost it. And he gave himself up for us. He would never had any sin nature inside of him at all. We do, though. And so there's a purification that has to happen that the Bible calls sanctification. So once we get connected again, once we say yes to him, once we say, I want you in my life, I want your nature, I want to know to love you, I want to know what your character is, I want to follow after you. Once that happens, Holy Spirit comes and we're connected again. That connection starts a flow, a transfer of information and passion and love and generosity and all the different things into our spirit. That's where Holy Spirit lives, in our spirit, just like he lived in the Holy of Holies, in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, where he set his spirit. That's where it lived. That's where his spirit lived, in that tabernacle. We have a spirit, a tabernacle inside of us, and that's where he comes to live. But our soul needs help. And that's why you can look at me and go, man, that's impossible. That's impossible, because you're looking at what's going on in your soul. You're looking at the way you're thinking. You're looking at the way you're living, and you think there's no possible way. But there is a possible way because of the connection that we have between us and God. Through the cross of Jesus, through the name of Jesus, his Spirit comes. See, he gave me another shot. He's given y'all another shot. Another shot at being like him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says, it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. Restoring the dead to life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for God made Christ as a human who never sinned. He never had the devil's nature. He never had that nature. He had God's nature, so he never sinned. He made Christ to be the sin offering for us so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And being made right with God is the word righteous. We can become the righteousness of God through Christ. It's not through being good. It's not through going to church. It's not through being your best person or being your best person now. It is by receiving Christ Jesus as your Lord and saying yes to him on a daily basis, not just a one-time shot where you come up here and shake a preacher's hand, get baptized, and you walk off and live however you want to. No, receiving the Spirit of God means that he changes what we want to do. He changes how we think. He changes where we want to go. He changes what we want to watch with our eyes. And if we listen to him, he will purify and begin to cleanse our soul so that we begin to be more and more like Jesus. So he didn't do it so we could be good people. He did it so we could be transformed into his likeness. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this. God foreknew and he preplanned for us to be conformed to the image of his Son. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, we all who have his Spirit are being transformed into the same image of Jesus from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord directs. From one degree of glory to the next. And that's the process of being purified by Him in our soul. Spirit of God comes, reconnects us, and He wants us to be like Him in our soul. To make decisions like God makes, to make words like God makes, to do the things that God wants us to do, just like Jesus, in that same image. And to do that, He put His Spirit inside of us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16, I think it is. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again for fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And as children of God, same word is used of Jesus as the Son of God. Do you see the correlation? He's wanting us to be just like Jesus. And He's made that plan and provided a way for that to happen so that we can be love in the world, be truth in the world, be good in the world, be generous in the world, so people in the world will see that there is a God and He lives in me. Regardless of what they do to me, regardless of what they say to me, learning to be like Jesus means doing the things that Jesus did, and He took a beating with a whip while people cussed Him, while people mocked Him, while people spat on Him. They ripped out His beard and His hair. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They nailed Him to a cross. And He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And our response to somebody saying something bad about us on Facebook is like, well, these blah, 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 and they just start cussing just like they did. That's not Jesus. And we know that, right? What we're saying here is that He set up His Spirit inside, and when we focus on the connection, when we focus on the Word, the truth of God, when we focus on what He has to say, He begins molding us, transforming us, conforming us into being like Him. So we have the opportunity to not ignore what people say bad about us, not ignore somebody slapping us on the face or punching us in the face, not ignoring it, but turning love into that situation. There are so many people who saw the love of their captors in USSR. They saw the love of the Christians that they had taken captive and put into gulags over there. They saw the love, and those people were transformed by the love of the person that they're torturing because of the way they responded. He put His Spirit in us, and He begins a transformation process. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we've been given an exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we can be partakers of His divine nature. And that's the point. Through the Word, through the Spirit, we become partakers of the divine nature. Spirit and truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And the Spirit of God wants to change what we think, but He requires our cooperation. If we receive Him and get reconnected again, but we do not allow Him to begin work in our lives because we're too prideful or we're too lazy or we're too whatever, if we say no to Him in any regard and in any area of our lives, He's perfectly a gentleman. And while He wants to make transformation through this connection to us, through the truth of the Word of God. He wants to do that. He does not and cannot if we don't say yes to Him. So how do you know when God is working on you? It's not guilt. It's not condemnation. Guilt and condemnation come from the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren. So if we're accusing one another and we're saying to one another, hey, you such and so, why you always blah, 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 that's from the devil. And so many of us have lived with that all of our lives. Our parents, our wives, our teachers, our coaches are all built with a nature that's not from God, then they automatically say things that destroy us and try to make us think that we're not something. Not all of them are like that. Yes, that's true. But many of us sitting in this room right now, I know, have experienced damage from the people that you love, who have said things about you in the past that are not true. But they were saying it so they could trample on you and make themselves higher and feel better about themselves, because that's the nature of the devil. But our God does not use that kind of tool. He uses conviction and love. He speaks the love, He speaks the truth in love to us, and when we receive it, He can use it to explode inside of us what He wants done. He's not so much interested in us trying and trying and trying and trying, because at some point we have to come and will come to the end of ourselves in trying to do something. I tried to quit smoking for years and years. My wife finally said, I'm going to go down and buy you a pack of cigarettes so you can shut up. I tried to quit drinking for years. She told me the same thing. I'm going to go buy you a six pack so I can get you off my back. You're not nice when you try to quit. But when Jesus came, when the Holy Spirit made a difference in me, it was easy. He makes it easy. We make it hard because we want to guilt ourselves or guilt somebody else into being something that they just absolutely don't have the power to do. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power to obey God. And the way He does that is He gives us this power by getting us into the Word of God. And you don't have to read the whole thing. You just simply ask and say, Spirit, I want to hear what you have to say to me. Father in heaven, I want to hear what you have to say to me. And begin paging through, and He leads you to the verse, and you read a chapter, and while you're reading the chapter, something just rises up off the page. Maybe just one word, maybe a phrase, maybe the whole paragraph or whole chapter, but it comes up off the page, and it feels like it's something inside, deep inside, begins to stir, and you sense it. But too often, we want to go, yeah, that's good, great. And then we run off and want to watch our whatever and do all our other things. And I'm not saying those other things are bad, but His focus is important. Focusing on Him is important. And that's what we're encouraging ourselves today to do, is focus on Him, get into the truth, hear what He has to say so that He can transform us in those areas. His Word and His Spirit, His truth, His Spirit connecting up inside of us is like taking a plug and just bring it inside of it and then plugging it in that area where He's working on. Need help with finances, wisdom for finances. The Bible has loads to say about it. When we go in there and say, hey, what do you want? Get a concordance, do a search online, whatever you want to do, and find that scripture that speaks to you here and allow the Spirit of God to let that resonate, vibrate inside of you. It's like taking and plugging Him in. And that's the power that we need to see that thing happen in our lives. If you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with anything, this is the secret. And it's not a secret. It's been written for thousands of years right there in the Bible. So today we're going to close. The whole thing that we're here is to encourage one another to make a commitment of ourselves afresh to our Creator, our Father in heaven, and say to Him, I want You. I want Your will. I want what you want, and I don't exactly know how to get it. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. Please show me. Right now, we're going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to be dismissed here in less than 5 minutes, promise. And I have to ask a question, or I wouldn't be doing my job. If y'all would, please just bow your heads for a second and give everybody the courtesy of privacy. Maybe you've never received the Spirit of God. Maybe you've never reconnected to God. Maybe that has never happened to you. You've gone to church all your life, or you've been trying to be a good person, but you've never really came to the point of saying, I want your Spirit in me. I want you in me. Please come. I'm a sinner. I know I have a bad nature, but I want your nature in me. If you've never done that, we want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. It's really simple. It's just the Bible says if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's the connection. The word saved is the connection. If you want to do that right now, would you put your hand up? Either hand, doesn't matter. Both of them would be great too. Anybody here? Thank you. I see that. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. See that? We're going to pray. Right now, I'd like for everybody in here to pray after me. Repeat after me if you don't mind. And then afterwards, I'd like to talk with you. If you raised your hand, I'd love to talk with you and give you some more information about new life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and how you have come to set us free from the old nature and give us your nature so that we can live according to your ways. Thank you so much for the seed of the Word of God that's planted in our hearts this day so that we can let it germinate and just sprout inside of us and begin to be the huge, beautiful garden, fruit-bearing garden that you've intended and planned for us to be. Thank you, Father. I now receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want you in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you all for coming. Y'all have a fantastically beautiful day.